The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Good morning, real dudes. This is Kyle, and with me today we have Carrington.
Yo, yo, yo.
And this week's real mini episode, we are going to discuss Tacoma. And we have a little surprise indie game at the end of the show that we'll mention. So be sure to stay tuned for that. So this week, Carrington, actually, I think it's been just right around a week that Tacoma has been released. And just for people who haven't heard what the game is, it's developed by Fulbright, who formerly developed the game Gone Home, which was highly praised. It's a first-person experience based in a space station environment where you, your character, Amy, discovers how the crew was able to work together through some challenges in the way of watching VR scans. What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect from it at first because I didn't look up anything about it. So I had no idea it was a experience per se. Because the reason why it's experience because there's no real gameplay, I guess. You don't solve puzzles. You don't fight enemies. You just kind of go through and see how everything unfolds in front of you. Which I don't mind these games at all. But the things that jumped out to me right away was first the VR stuff, how your character interacts with it throughout the game. You know, she moves her hands around, which I think is cool. You know, you can tell they put some thought into that kind of thing. And also the voice acting jumped out immediately as soon as the game opens up and how well it's done because... as soon as it opens up, it's just dialogue between your character, Amy, and her AI, Minnie, I think is her name. You know, you don't hear her very often. It just jumped out to me like, whoa, this got good voice acting for an indie game.
Oh, yeah.
And as you go through it, the voice acting and the characters really develop and it really comes through. And you can tell they spent a lot of work on how people act and react and talk to each other and things like that. How about you?
I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And just before we continue going into further discussion about it, I just want to let everyone know that this is a spoiler-free discussion. Just because it's such a fresh game right now that we don't want to spoil it for everybody. And maybe later down the road we could have a spoiler discussion on it once a few other people end up finishing the game that is on the podcast here. But yeah, I loved it. I really enjoyed the storytelling, and I feel like lately I've been kind of leering more towards heavily story-driven games, and this really kind of fit that itch that I've been having lately for that. I kind of disagree about the puzzle things, because I think there were a couple puzzles brought out in the game.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I forgot about... I can think of two right off the bat now.
The one I'm thinking about is just the doors.
Yep.
There's doors with codes. You have to figure out how to get through the doors by examining different things and watching through the AR scans. The reason why I like that is because it made you dive in and kind of like hide and seek for these codes. So yeah. You had to go read through certain things, and you could, you could almost pick up anything in the game that was laying on tables or on the ground, or, the environment was really active. So you could pick up magazines and look for codes and read them more. or some of the characters in the game had written personal notes that you can pick up and read. So I really did. I liked that. And going on with interacting with everything, did you play pool?
I did not.
Okay.
I didn't know you could.
Yeah, there's a section that where there's a dartboard and a pool table, and you can play darts and play pool and basketball. Did you see the basketball court?
Yes, I did see the basketball court, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. So not only is, you know, Tacoma first person experience, but it was a sports game. So I think I got an achievement for slam dunking the ball into the basketball hoop. And I didn't play around with the pool table enough to see what achievements there are that come with it, but I'm sure there has to be something. But you can pick up each ball and put it in the triangle and or the rack and set your balls up and then set the cue ball at the end of the table and hit it, and you can play through a full game of pool.
You know, I was thinking about going through the game again. So if I go through it again, I'll definitely be playing some pool darts.
Yeah.
I did play basketball though.
Yeah. So yeah, it was super interesting. And the thing that I really like about these games is that they're not overwhelming. I think this Tacoma took me about 3 hours to beat. Was about the same for you?
Yeah, because there's, I'd say, roughly three sections in the game, and each section took me roughly an hour, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah, that's about what it did for me as well, and I played it over a couple nights span. I feel like I could sit down and play through the entire game, but, you know, busy life, so I was able to break it up and continue it from where I would stop. It's nice save and quit option on there. How did, so with not getting too deep into it, but with the VR scanning and how you're able to rewatch these situations that took place between the crew members, I guess, how did you approach it? Because I think there's different ways that you could approach each thing. Would you just go into a room and the first person you saw, you would start playing their scan? Or would you go and examine the area first and then start playing scans?
I whoever came up to me first is who I would follow. And there were a couple times where they started off as a group. I would just literally follow someone just randomly and go with that person to follow through first and then, you know, rewind it and then follow someone else and keep doing that over and over again. I thought that was really cool that you could just see different points of views, because you'd be, say, pay attention to someone, and then another person or a group of other people would come in. They would already be talking about something, and you would have no context clues or anything, and you could rewind it, and it just gets...
You have to go to where they started from.
Yeah, and you get a whole different experience about that entire conversation.
Yeah, and that, you know, the first time you run into... AR where there's more than just one group, that really threw me off, because like you run in the room and you're like, oh, here's this individual, and you start and you press play and you see what they're doing at that time, and then out of nowhere you see another group, and then it clicked. It's like, oh, I have to stop this and then go rewind and watch where they, like, what's going on with them, so I can connect these two events together. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a genius way of, you know, telling a story. It made the game more than what it, like, to me, it made it more than what I thought it was. Because it took more time to figure out what was going on with with this crew in it. And you could start with one group, and I think, like, each playthrough, you could start with a different group and kind of get a different perspective of how the story is being told.
And the story took me about, I'd say, halfway through the game to figure out, like, what the heck was happening, really.
Yeah.
Because I didn't play Gone Home, so this is completely new to me to how Fulbright likes to tell their games.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've maybe played maybe two other first-person experience games, and they're just... One was Dear Esther, and for those who've played it, the game, you just literally walk around and the story is randomly generated for you as you walk around. So doing something like Tacoma was still a much different experience for me.
Yeah. I agree. There's, like I said, I think it's a breath of fresh air within the gaming community because most games you play are so fast paced. They're so heavily detailed with, I don't know, say for instance, RPGs where you're building stats and diving into the world of, you know, dungeon crawling and stuff. But this game is, it sets you in this environment. You go and explore and you see how the story unfolds between these crew members and how they're, you know, how they're able to work together.
Mm-hmm.
One question that kind of brought to mind is what future Fulbright games, could we see in the future? Like what scenarios? For me, I thought of, it'd be kind of cool to see, this might be really cheesy, but camp counselors and how as young adults, they're faced with everyday emotional drama of being, you know, a teenager or a young adult while handling the care of kids. I think that they're able to put in a, you know, a strong mystery story with that. Like they lose a crowd or a group of kids or something and how they're able to work through that together. Really random, but that's the first thing that came to mind whenever I thought of that question.
That's a... I would be interested. That'd be fun to see.
Yeah,
I got nothing. I mean, they could. I mean, they could make a zoo or something and still make it interesting somehow. You know what I mean?
Dude, that would be so cool. Like, right? Employee at the zoo.
Yeah, I don't know how they would tell it, but like, you know, maybe something happens with one of the animals or something, and then you have to just watch the story unfold.
As long as it's not dealing with panda bears.
Why not?
Because I love pandas, and if they do something to pandas, I'll be really mad.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, so Fulbright made Tacoma, and Tacoma is great. I love it.
And I think we'll be doing a full review of it, because it's because we're going to stay away from reviews in the mini episodes, but I think we're going to review it in the... Is it in the next main episode, I think? I can't remember. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool, cool.
All right. So aside from Tacoma, Dynamo Games had created a game called Ladybugger for Android application. Android.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Sure. So I'm going to read you the description straight from the Android store about what Ladybugger is about. And I love this description. So it says, developed by a team of lazy professionals, Ladybugger allows the player to control a lifeless bug and make him do things which he wouldn't have done in real life, like collecting coins on a leaf. Yay! It has a simple formula implemented in a way which is exactly the same as previous incarnations, but it has a secret weapon which can lure more players and build the best game environment possible, i.e. your imagination.
Awesome.
So originally when they contacted us and I downloaded it, the description was way, way different. So I don't know why they changed it, but originally it was this.
Did you prefer the original description?
Oh, yes. By far. It was like, it said something along the lines of, you know, tired of cheap, mindless mobile games. Well, here's another one, which I thought was awesome. They're like embracing, you know, the whole mobile gaming
genre.
Yeah. Stereotype thing. I loved it. So I did get to play Ladybugger for about 5-10 minutes. I've been pretty busy, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to get into it. But yeah, pretty there's cool. This ladybug, and it's actually kind of hard because you have like these coins in like a maze type setting, and you use your finger to go around and collect all these like coins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't touch the wall, which I didn't know at first. And like the first level took me quite a few tries to get down.
Carrington got wrecked by the wall
several times.
Yeah.
But it's okay. You know, it's cool. I'd recommend it. Just try it out. You know, you can download it.
It made me laugh. Games to help you pass time.
Oh yeah, for sure. You can definitely do that because, like I said, I didn't get a whole lot of time into it because I was so busy. But I would at least recommend you to try it out. It actually has pretty decent reviews on the Android store.
Awesome.
It's got 89 5-star reviews.
Hey, cool. 89 is a good number. I was born that year, so that's good. I would have loved to have tried it out, but sadly, it's not out for the iOS.
No, sir. So if you have an Apple, an iPhone, you cannot play it, unfortunately.
But yeah, sounds cool. I watched the video. It kind of did look difficult because in the video it had just the ladybug going around in a simple maze, but it wrecked into the wall, got killed, and they had to restart. But it looks like a good game, and that's by Dynamo Games. You can follow them on Instagram.com/DynamoGames, Twitter.com/DynamoGames, and Facebook.com/DynamoGamesPK.
Yes, it's very important to add that PK on the Facebook because there are several. There's another company out there also called Dynamo Games. So it took us a while to find their social media stuff.
Yeah. So that's it. That's it. We kept this episode mini. Check out Tacoma. Check out Ladybug. Ladybugger. Man, it is way too early. Check out, what is it?
Tacoma and Ladybugger.
Yeah, I apologize. We normally don't record at 5:30 in the morning, so be sure to check those games out. Let us know what you think of them. You can follow us on twitter.com/realdudes_pod. Instagram.com /realdudespodcast. And facebook.com/realdudespodcast. Be sure to send us your emails, thoughts, questions, anything. realdudespodcast@gmail.com. Sorry. realdudespod@gmail.com.
There you go.
realdudespod@gmail.com. Goodness gracious. I don't know if I can record this early again.
I don't know, man. And then don't forget, we have a website, realdudespodcast.com. And if you like and support the show, you can support us at Patreon at patreon.com/realdudespod.
Awesome. Other than that, it's Tuesday here, and it's morning. And it's a fresh start, so I think everyone should have a rad day.
Yeah.
The Home Depot has very good news for your lawn. It's called Scott's Thicker Lawn. Right now, from only $19.98 a bag. Thicker Lawn is a 3-in-1 mixture of seed, fertilizer, and soil improver. Perfectly formulated for thicker lawns and happier lawn owners. So spread the word for up to a 50% thicker lawn after just one application. Today is the day for doing with Scott's Thicker Lawn from only $19.98 a bag. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.